Welcome to the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. This is Mark Steven Schwartz, and it is both an honor and a privilege for me to read the diaries from Allied and American civilian prisoners of war interned in and around Kobe, Japan during the Great Pacific War, World War II. This is episode number 31. October 10th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. The eventful day has arrived. All packed and ready to leave by 9 a.m. and much delay. We finally left at 3 p.m. The fathers were to go to the Canadian Lodge. On arriving at the new house, Mark's house, it was found that it was physically impossible for it to hold more than 50 persons. Really should hold maximum of 35. The police were to decide who would be moved out of our group to go with the 10 fathers to the Canadian Lodge. When Matsumoto-san arrived with list at 4:30 p.m., it included myself, Houston, and Thomas, but omitted other Pan-American men, so I asked Matsumoto, chief of the Kensho, if the list could be changed so that all Pan-American men could be kept together. Answer was okay, so with the addition of Mr. Houston, Mr. Vaughn, Durham, and Bill Huff, and H. Brinkerhoff, we loaded our belongings on a truck and were off. The best piece of luck we have had since being interned. Arrived at the Canadian Club after dark, and found an aggressive group of men in charge. Was able to get rooms assigned, beds put up, blankets distributed, etc. In the transfer, we were shorted on blankets and beds, but fortunately there were extra beds at the Canadian Club, and only three men are without good beds. They have temporary cots. Vaughn, Hughes, and Durham are on the second floor on the sunny side of the house. Fathers in the third floor west dorm with two other men, the Protestant missionaries from Manchuria. All the rest of us, nine Pan-American plus Houston and Brinkerhoff, are in the third floor east dorm with Mr. Peacock, the Australian language teacher, who's 60 years old or older, and Mr. Landis, Dutch teacher and secretary of the NEI Exporters Association. Harold Brinkerhoff. It seems that everything happens to me on the 10th and the 23rd. Last night, about 6 p.m., we were notified to pack our bags as we were to move on the morrow. This morning, a group of Britishers were brought to occupy the buildings across the street. They were a sorry-looking lot. Their clothes hung in rags and their feet were raw and bleeding. I thought of the Revolutionary War and Washington's men leaving bloody footprints on the snow. Maybe they are the British who had their ship sunk by an American sub. Their condition could be the results of having been in the water and their feet cut by coral. About 1 p.m. we got away. We were taken by trucks up near the mountains, not far from Butterfield House. We were unloaded and all of our belongings. The house is too small to accommodate 63 men. The fathers are to go somewhere else. At nearly dark, they decided to send some of the rest of us to another house. So 13 of us were told to load our belongings on the truck, and away we went. We traveled higher up the foothills and towards Osaka. We came to the Canadian Academy. There are 46 other internees here. Jim Thomas. Moved from Seaman's Mission to the Marks House on a truck. Usual Japanese inefficiency shown when they tried to crowd 74 men into a house suited for five people. Bungled and worked all day with no food. After being shown that plan was impractical, the police, through the ever-present Kensho, finally decided to allow some of us to go to the Canadian Academy, an internment camp further east, where some local residents were interned. After much confusion and heckling, 24 of us, including the Pan Air employees, Catholic fathers, and some civil service men, were segregated to go to the Canadian Academy. We arrived late, about 8 p.m., and unannounced. We're surprised to find tablecloths and a swell meal awaiting us. We were made to live in a low-ceiling garret and were kept together as a group to facilitate our being controlled. At time of arrival at this camp, the meals were prepared on the camp and thus were better than the Mikado's fares and were adequate but not our standard of eating. Don Wallace. General camp routine at the Seaman's Mission, nothing of importance. Food situation very bad. Housing facilities filthy. Punishment meted out by the police for any infraction of their petty rules. We moved to the foreign section and are quartered in a six-room residence. Don Wallace was interned at the Marks House, as was Roy Henning. With a contractor group, separated from the Pan Am group, the Catholic priests, and a few others, including Harold Brinkerhoff. Older group of American internees, including Max Brodowski, were still housed at the Butterfield and Swires house. We are again split up. 50 of us are crowded into this house, which has two toilets and a bath. Very dirty and unsanitary. We are permitted no exercise, only in the yard. Food situation still very bad. Men have been losing weight very rapidly. Repeatedly, we have requested the authorities to relieve our crowded condition, but none forthcoming. Roy Henning. Finish packing, move all beds, etc., out front to be taken along. Leave in truck about 2 p.m. Nice house, but will be very crowded. Pan American and Padres move on to the Canadian school. This leaves 50 men here. I decline to go with Pan American. Had upstairs room, 9 men. October 11th, 1942. It is really a most pleasant change to be here. Food is prepared at the house by cooks, paid by the police, and is excellent in comparison to the Mikado Swill. Type of food is the same, but the difference in the method of preparing and serving is unbelievable. Normal meals consist of breakfast, rice with milk, sugar, coffee, bread, butter, and an apple or banana. Sugar is in bowl on each table and is divided up to each person if table so desires. It is the ration of the day. It's quite sufficient for rice and 2 cups of coffee. If you go sparingly on it, it will suffice for tea at tiffin and dinner. Lunch is meat or fish, squash, cabbage, bread, butter, and dessert, jello or crepe suzettes, etc., or apple and banana. Dinner, fish or meat substitutes such as macaroni and cheese, 2 vegetables, butter, margarine, bread, and tea. Tiffin is at 3:30 when tea is served. If you have saved a slice of bread and have some jam, you can feast as per your own tastes and supplies. Church service. Church of England style, led by regular minister at 11 a.m., and Catholic fathers also have their own masses. Harold Brinkerhoff. Today is my dear mother's birthday. Many happy returns of the day. There are 4 American businessmen here. The majority are British. There are also Guatemalans, Dutch, Australians, New Zealanders, Canadians, Belgians, and Irish. All have been teachers or businessmen here. We feel out of place as all of these men dress very well. They would never think of coming to the table unless they have neckties and a coat. Many of us are very shabby, having only Navy or Marine clothes. I went to the religious service celebrating Mother's Day. The meals are a 100% improvement over the Seaman's Mission. Everything is cooked to European taste. Everything borders on the formal. Ties and coats at the table. The food is served in vegetable bowls, and one person acts as host and serves the food at each table. We receive rice with sugar and real fresh milk, something we haven't had for some time. We received a half of an apple at each meal. We were lucky to receive fruit 3 times a week at Seaman's. The younger men here challenged us to a volleyball game. We were beaten both games. They have some good athletes here. Roy Henning, Sunday, nice sunny day and cool. Nice view over all Kobe from here. Hear that other group drew a lemon. Getting settled. October 12, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Bill Young and Bill Smith came up from the other house to attempt to get bedding and sheet situation straight. In the move, some 30 to 40 blankets and 20 sheets disappeared. They are really crowded at their place. We are getting into the swing here, playing volleyball, tennis outside on the grounds. Some of the group are planting a garden of vegetables. The grounds to the Canadian Academy include 2 courts and a fair-sized garden patch. The atmosphere of this camp is entirely different than the mission. The police are rarely seen, and bell ringing and roll calls are at a minimum. Evening is only real roll call. Misters C. Price, H. Mason, and F. Down are especially friendly and helpful. Even this camp has trouble getting necessities. Among things almost impossible to purchase or get sufficient are soap and toilet paper, to say nothing of sugar, meal, all foods, clothing, coal, shoes, socks, etc. Harold Brinkerhoff. We have a good view of the harbor from our windows. We are on the 3rd floor, which is a sealed attic. My room at Seaman's Mission was better, but the other facilities are better here. We have a large play area, a tennis and a volleyball court. We are allowed out there at any time without having to get permission. There is a front yard where several of the locals are preparing garden plots for next year. One must dig out about 1 foot of soil and rocks and haul in some better soil. It is quite a chore. I have started a plot of about 10 by 20 feet. If we are still here in the spring, I shall plant some tomatoes and carrots at least. Roy Henning. Foggy, gloomy day. So, practice music literature. A little. Fix electric clock. Bob's asthma still bad. October 13th, 1942. Roy Henning. Fair day, so play golf and yard. Practice music. Received, ordered 2 pair of shorts. October 14th, 1942. Roy Henning. Sunny day. Sterling and I fix Yamona organ. Good experience. Had 1/2 bottle of beer. Learning to play cribbage. October 15th, 1942. Roy Henning. Spend all day constructing a box. With Sterling, works fabulous, inverted image. That box is actually a telescope. Mess cooking today. Bob still in bed, feels weak. October 16th, 1942. Roy Henning. More box work. Finish sewing jacket. Shave with my new razor, works swell. Nice hike to Butterfield. Visit Pat O'Connor, Foe, George Foden, and Mike, Sidney McMichael. October 17th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. Today is bath day. We get two baths a week, Tuesdays and Saturday. The tubs are like baby baths. They're made of wood, ovoid in shape, about 12 inches deep with a higher back. There is barely room to sit in one. You pour water over yourself to get the upper part of your body wet. This is done with a wooden dipper. You stand outside, soap yourself, and then rinse off by pouring water over yourself. Then you can get in the tub and soak a little. We have been here a week. The food is excellent. It isn't that it is so different. We are still getting fish, but it is the manner in which it is prepared. Olive and Craver were up from the Butterfield house and gave us some hoedown music. They brought some scuttlebutt that we are to leave around November 1st. We learned that several of us have letters at the Eastern Lodge. The Eastern Lodge is where the five Navy nurses from Guam were interned. There may have been other female American internees at this residence, but this has not been ascertained. That was Wednesday. We do not have them yet. I do not know who my letter is from. Roy Henning. Raining. Practice steel guitar running scales. Communicating sway and pola next door. Waiting for more lenses for scope. Bob, Sterling, and I practice music. Goes good. October 18th, 1942. Roy Henning. Sunny. Sunday. Japanese girls sing for us again. Play golf. Work on telescope. October 19th, 1942. Roy Henning. Cold day. Sew on my old pants, putting in patch and seat. Bought pants from Appy, Tom Appendale, 5 yen. October 20th, 1942, Charles F. Gregg. Captured planes, Flying Fortress and One Douglas, were flown over Kobe in celebration of Air Force Day. Also some 65 Japanese planes. Peace and paper saying that Americans captured from April 18th raid on Tokyo, who had machine gun school children, were to be severely treated, and further acts of this nature would be punished by death. Roy Henning. Sunny, nice day. Went on a swell hike, cross country, over hills, villages, rice paddies. Saw some slum districts. Seen more today than ever before. On the run all the time. Sukiyaki dinner. See U.S. plane flown over Kobe on exhibit. October 21st, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Study classes of French, Japanese, and morning. Went to Mark's house in the afternoon to get my shoes and laundry for other men, then tennis match on return to Canadian Academy. Slim is busy and doing some plumbing, and all of us thriving on food, exercise, and study. Roy Henning. Overcast. Hear news that U.S. aviator executed. Working on box. Practice music. Fixed steel bar. October 22nd, 1942. Roy Henning. Haircut for Maxie. More box work. Can play a couple pieces on steel now. October 23rd, 1942. Roy Henning. Reading Dean's book, Handbook to the Heavens. Music session every night. Measured for suits. October 24th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Taylor called to measure all of us for suits. Inquired if there were not suits arranged for us at our own expense by Swiss consul, and was informed not. They said they were gifts from Japanese government, that there would therefore be no choice of cloth or style of tailoring. Later, however, we found out this was wrong and that they were arranged for by the Swiss consul for our account, approximately $25, 100 yen. Cloth is part wool and part staple fiber, wood. Style is high military collar. Roy Henning. Very cold day. Everyone shivering. No heat. Spent most time in bed to keep warm. October 25th, 1942. Max Radowski, interned at this time at the Butterfield and Swires house. I have not written since the end of April, but have received a letter from my dear wife written April 20th, 1942. I got it about the 6th of October, almost 6 months ago. I was very happy to get it, as it told me that all were well and that my message of the latter days of January were received. I will here record the letter in case I lose the original. San Francisco, April 20th, 1942. Pray each night for your speedy return, and know God is taking care of you. All my love to you. Dearest sweetheart, this is my second letter to you since I was informed I could write, and I pray that they will get to you so you will know everything is all right here, except, of course, waiting for your return. Mr. Beecher has been most kind to me, and I get the money each month as you arranged. Your message was received in time for the 56th wedding anniversary celebration, and I was happy to hear the locket with my picture is still doing its good work. I hope, my sweetheart, you are well, as I know you can take it if you feel good. We all had a nice holiday dinner at your sister's, including my mother and father. Doris and Al took pictures of your father and my folks, so you will have a look at them when you get home. I've been working at the San Francisco hospital, and it is pleasant work. Tell Grant I saw Donna and the babies. They are fine. Remembered Beverly for her birthday. She told me if I can see your daddy, say hello to him. The baby looks just like Grant. Have been seeing or hearing from all your friends, and they have all been nice to me. This is all for now, but hope to be able to write real letters to you soon. All my love to you, Ethel. So long for now. This letter gave and is giving me much. I read it often and can picture the situation at home. I was informed that there is more mail for me and am waiting patiently for the delivery, which will take place after the Japanese censors get through. The winter is now settling in and it is turning cold. It gets real cold here as last January when we arrived here from Guam. In the tropics, it registered about 26 degrees Fahrenheit, which was a difference of about 60 degrees, and we suffered from the cold. This winter, it will be different as we are acclimated and we are getting more food. Roy Henning. Sunday. Sunny, a little warmer. Haircuts. Stand out in front of the street, watching the world go by. October 26, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. There has been very little of interest. Everything goes very smoothly here. The meals are plain but very good. I have not yet received my letter or letters. I wish they would arrive. Father Xavier and I have a garden growing. We have some cabbage, spinach, and radishes growing. I forgot to mention when we arrived here, we found the Catholic Fathers already here ahead of us. I have been practicing tennis. I'm going to learn or know the reason why. There are two Guatemalan brothers by the name of Lopez. Alf is giving Spanish lessons, and I am continuing my study. There are classes being given in German, Japanese, Chinese, and French. Later, I may take Japanese. Charles F. Gregg. Reggie Price wedding to Russian girl. Quite charming and attractive. Services in Russian Orthodox Church. Group from Guam sent flowers to the wedding, which were greatly appreciated. Resulted in a profusion of thanks. That evening, Cliff Price came up after roll call, and at 10:30 p.m. with four bottles of beer for the group in the room, and we toasted to the bride and groom. Reggie was allowed out of the internment camp from 12 to 5:30 p.m. for wedding and honeymoon. A guard accompanied them. Roy Henning. Overcast but fair temperatures. Read a little, practice music, exercise with medicine ball. October 28th, 1942. Max Brodowski. Yesterday we had an outing in the afternoon. Our Japanese guards do try at times to break the monotony of imprisonment for us. Sometimes it is a hike over the Kobe Hills, of which there are plenty around here. The scenery of Japan is very picturesque. There are forests of pine, waterfalls, lakes, and quaint tea houses. To have visited this country in former times would have been a rare treat. Yesterday we visited an ancient temple and had a walkthrough through a part of town about 10 miles from our abode. These walks and our regular shopping trips do much to relieve the tension of confinement and inactivity. Today I received a letter from my sister Belle, who has never failed me when letters were necessary. I will here copy her letter. May 12, 1942. Dear Max, at last we have been told officially that we can write you. We hope you too have been told that you can write us. We received your message via the shortwave radio 3 days after Ethel's mother and dad's wedding anniversary, and everybody was more than happy to know where you are. Everybody is well. Pop has been getting along very well. He is down at the Bell Bazaar today. Ethel's folks are all fine. Marcia, Harold's baby, is so cute. She was 10 months old yesterday. She cannot walk yet, but she does stand alone for a few minutes at a time. Seconds, should say. We get a lot of pleasure watching her. We have seen Helen and John and Donna. We talk to them quite often over the phone. So tell Grant, if he is with you, that they are fine. He has a lovely new daughter. Harry Levine is in San Francisco with a state guard. He spent last Sunday at our house and enjoyed seeing all the family. I really would not have known him if he didn't tell me who he was. I really do not remember him so well. I should note that Harry Levine was my grandfather. All the kids are fine. Mickey and Doris are just starting their vacation. Harold left for Los Angeles this morning. He has been appointed on the line up at the lodge and is now junior officer. Bev says all the men at the lodge ask for you. Miss McGuff, your old school teacher, has phoned several times to inquire about you. She talked to me once and one time to Ethel. She is now retired. She has fond memories of you. Anne is writing a textbook. She has a contract from Heath and Company and is writing with one of the professors at Stanford. She really is revising a book of his at Heath's request, so the work will be all hers. Everyone is well here, Max, and we all go about our business as usual. We hope to be able to get some word from you soon, and soon as we possibly can, we will send anything that is allowed. Al is fine. Ethel spends a good deal of her time with us. Be of good cheer, Max, and know that we are all well and thinking of you. Much love to you, Belle. This also was a very welcome letter. It was written 3 weeks later than my dear wife's letter, and also assured me that all is well at home, and I enjoyed hearing about the different friends and family. I got a thrill out of the fact that my old school teacher, Mrs. McGuff, who must be in her 70s now, should remember me. She was always the outstanding teacher of my school day memories. My contact with her dates back a matter of 34 years. The weather here is still autumn and is really very pleasant. We are looking forward to a cold winter, as we have not forgotten last winter, but do not expect to suffer much as we are being clothed for it. Charles F. Gregg. Celebration dinner for Reggie Price was held on QT in basement at 10:30 to 12 p.m. with champagne, beer, whiskey, soda, and Chinese chop suey. Police guard was a guest. Several men became a little intoxicated. All tongues were loosened to a more or less degree. I was invited after party was underway to represent, but on the QT, the Guam Americans. There were only 16 people to the dinner in total, and all but myself were old friends of Reggie. Roy Henning. Fine sunny day having workout with Medicine Ball. Nice hike to Monobiki Falls and to top of Mountain Ridge. Learned several new pieces of music. Hot bath. And this concludes episode 31 of the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye now.